Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. We're doing things a little differently today for us, aren't we?
We are. We can actually see each other while we're recording, which has, like, we've never done it this way.
No, this is very different. Actually, you could see me. I can't see you. I've got my script in front of me.
Perfect.
So I start picking my nose or whatever. Just let me know.
No, I won't let you know. Instead, I'll make screenshots.
There you go. And we'll post it in the Facebook group. Hi, y'all.
Hey, everyone needs to see this. Margo's picking a winner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Okay, it's the day after Thanksgiving, and we're feeling a little bit punchy today.
Yes.
We have an old-timey Hollywood creep. We love those. They're so exciting. That's going to be the show today. And at the end of the show, we're going to talk about somebody who's wonderful and not a creep, just to so you don't leave the world feeling terrible. You know, we want some balance here. We are the podcast that talks about creeps from the past to the present. And we are on social media. We're on Twitter at CreepPod because somebody had What a Creep for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
We are on Facebook. We have a basic Facebook page. That's where people go to complain about our language. We do use salty language in this program.
Fuck yeah.
So you can see me now so she doesn't step on it. Yeah. We have a Facebook group, which is a private group. You do have to answer a couple of questions to get into the group, but it's in one of the best groups, I think, on Facebook. We just go and hang out and talk about creeps. It's really fantastic. Also, we have some new iTunes reviews, Sonia. We got 5-star reviews from TL007007, HJAPAF, excuse me, and Rachel Boyd. I think Rach Boyd. Thank you all so much for leaving us 5-star reviews in iTunes.
Thank you. That really offsets all the "I don't like it when Margot breathes" reviews that we get,
which is actually a thing. We also have two new members for our Patreon page. I want to welcome Chelsea, and this is Icelandic, I think, or Norwegian, this name. Rathen Fuden. I looked it up. I think I got it right.
Good job.
I at least made the effort. I want an A for effort. But
yes.
On What a Creep for the podcast, we have the Patreon page, excuse me. We have bonus episodes that we put there. We're going to put one out Monday or Tuesday next week. We try to put out two of those a month. We also have seasons 1 through 3 on the Patreon page. You get a newsletter once a month with the Patreon page. And also, Sonia, we are planning to put out Christmas cards this year, holiday cards.
Yes, I'm actually designing them today, y'all. I am so excited. I've got all kinds of ideas a-brewing.
Excellent. So if you're a Facebook member, excuse me, if you're a Patreon member, please let us know that we have your address. We have the right address that we send it to, because it'd be a bummer to spend all that money on postage and it didn't get to y'all.
Yes. And the postage system is improving here. So you might actually get your cards this year.
Wouldn't that be swell?
What a treat.
So you
it's a Christmas miracle.
Sonia, do you want to talk about the website?
Yes. You can go to whatacreeppodcast.com, and it is everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, but we're afraid to ask. It has links to all of our past episodes from season 4 up, and there's a link to our merch shop. So if you're looking for holiday gift ideas, we have all kinds of merch. We have masks and t-shirts and journals and tote bags. And Margot and I have bought many a shirt from this, and they are super soft and comfy.
We do love them. So that's all the places where you can reach us. Oh, forgot to mention, we do have an old-timey email, whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. Feel free on all those places to send us suggestions for creeps and also non-creeps. We're always looking for suggestions for non-creeps, especially because sometimes they're just harder to find, especially
That's
for
sad.
Certain people, which is sad. I get that, but... Yeah, we try to keep them special. You know, we put a lot of work into finding a creep, so we really want to find a good non-creep to kind of combat it. We also have stickers. If you are interested, would like some stickers, ask us. We'll drop them in the mail for you. We just dropped off a bunch of them. Y'all are getting them in the mail this week. Thank you all once again so much for listening to the show.
Thank you, everybody.
Are we ready to rock?
I'm ready to rock.
Are you ready to Rex?
I guess. No, I am.
Let's do this. From Henry Higgins to Dr. Doolittle, Rex Harrison is one of Hollywood's most popular leading men of the 20th century. With his tall stature, deep booming voice, and his undeniable confidence, audiences ate him up, whether he was playing a deceased sea captain, as in The Ghost of Mrs. Muir, one of my favorites, or playing Julius Caesar. Sexy Rexy, as he was known.
Nice nickname. Did he give it to himself?
Of course he did. He swears he didn't, but I say bullshit.
I love it when people give themselves nicknames.
Deny it. But I think he totally did. He led a life that was full of swagger, luxury, success, and often tragedy. This is one of those old-timey movie star creeps where the man is an arrogant, mean, stingy son of a bitch who treated coworkers, colleagues, family, and anyone in a position that could be referred to as staff like disposable trash. Here is the history of one of the least beloved people in show business, and he was known for this. I'm not breaking new ground here, guys. I mean,
least beloved. Yes. I love it.
Trigger warnings. Two of his partners died by suicide. Yeah. My sources are The Guardian, The Daily Mail, The Telegraph, a couple of books, The Incomparable Rex by Patrick Garland, Not an Ordinary Life by Eileen Younghusband. We'll get to her. And my favorite, Fatal Charm by Alexander Walker. That was the book, Sonia, that took me forever to get through. But
yeah,
it was worth the journey.
You put in so much work.
I was also sick, by the way. So sorry about the lateness of dropping this, you guys. But I just had no voice. I don't know if I still have a voice. But
You always have a voice. Always. But you were sick and it is okay to take care of yourself. So we do apologize that we had to miss a week, but 'tis the holidays also.
Yeah, let's be a little
not jealous. Unexpected.
Yep.
Yes.
Sir Reginald Cary Rex Harrison was born March 5th, 1908. One of our kind listeners sent me the pronunciation for this town. Highton Roby, with Roby, in Lancashire, England. Thank you very much.
I would not have gotten that.
It took me practice.
Right.
I had to practice a few times. He started his acting career on the stage as a teenager and went on to become one of the revered theatrical stars in productions such as French Without Tears, Anne of a Thousand Days, Henry VIII, and a little known musical called My Fair Lady. As a child, he had a bout with measles, which caused him to lose most of the sight in his left eye. So he tried by showing off his other physical attributes, like his height, like his voice, his good looks. He was kind of making up for that inferiority kind of complex he had. I didn't realize this, but since he started being on stage, he was always afraid of falling off the stage because his sight lines were so different from everybody else. His way of dealing that with that also was just getting angry and yelling at people.
Oh, dude, no. Like, just deal with your shit. Don't take it out on other people. Also, I love that I don't really know all the things that can go wrong with you when you have measles because there's vaccines for that shit now. It's pretty cool. Vaccines are rad. Get vaccinated, everybody.
Exactly. Don't be Eric Clapton.
That's a shirt right there. Don't be Eric Clapton.
What can I think about? Okay, write that shit down.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna start doing out of context shirts for us. Just random quotes. Don't be Eric Clapton. Writing it down.
I'm dry as a Sahara Desert here. That was a fun one.
I love that one too.
He always had confidence, which was interpreted as arrogance at a young age. Rex would try to intimidate his fellow actors and stagehands to do his bidding. His attitude was that he was always knew best and no one could teach him anything. Those are the most fun people to try to relate to.
So fun.
He was quickly one of the most hated people in the theater. One of the areas of his life you can either argue he was most successful or least was with women. He would go on to be married 6 times in his life.
6 times?
6 times.
Oh, my God.
Dozens of mistresses and girlfriends to keep him occupied. This is the thing. He hated to be alone, but he was impossible to live with.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was just going to say, like, when you're the fifth wife, or you're like, this one's going to stick. I'm different.
They
like,
all said that. We'll get to this. We'll get to his love bombing and his other shit. The man was condescending, played mind games. He always kept his women guessing how interested he really was. He loved the chase and secret phone calls, but he hated confrontation. When confronted, he would use his height and his voice to intimidate people, and then they would run off or they would get scared. He was perpetually keeping more than one woman on a string, no matter if he was married or not. His first wife was Noelle Colette Thomas. They were married from 1934 to 1942, and they had a son named Noel. Their marriage was constantly fraught with arguments, and their son Noel said the first learns he remembered using as a child were "shut up," because that's all his parents said to each other.
That is really sad.
That really makes me sad. Rex was on stage in the London West End and making movies at the same time, which caused him to burn out, and he was even more irritable than ever. For a time, he left his family to go on a road trip along the coast of France. This is right before World War II, and that's where he starts and falls in love with an actress named Lily Palmer. They have an affair for several years. During World War II, Rex wanted to stay in England and join the Royal Air Force, but because of his bad eyesight, he was asked to work on the ground, guiding the flights of the missions over the wire. He used his famous voice to help airmen feel confident on their missions, and he absolutely had their lives in his hands. And he took the job very seriously. He would later describe this time as the happiest in his life. He was juggling a few women, and he felt like a macho man working for the Royal Air Force.
macho man.
With the cap. You know, those knitted caps he likes.
Yes.
Not all of his RAF colleagues thought he was all that. One in particular was a woman named Eileen Younghusband. She was in the Women's Auxiliary Air Force. And in her recent memoirs, she is 92, by the way. She said Rex carried himself like he was something special and treated colleagues like dirt. He looked down on anyone who was not in show business. He loved to stand over them in the mess hall when where there was just one telephone. He would hog the phone and gab loudly, talking to his different girlfriends and ignore everyone's shushing.
What a creep.
She also said this was really gross. He would fill his mouth with toast and marmalade and eat so messily that the soggy bread would ooze out of the side of his mouth. Revolting is what she said. Like, all these years later, she's like still not having it.
That sounds gross.
It sounds really gross. As he was separated from his first wife, he was setting up with German actress Lily Palmer. She was his next partner. He would do this for the next 50 years. He gets into a relationship, has some issues, and then he puts his arms around another person. He gets them hooked. And then he also has somebody else on the side. So he's a side piece and a side piece for the side piece. He marries Lily in 1943, and they star in a few plays during the war and some films up in the Blackpool area. Lily soon learned that Rex loved to brag. He was a great smeller. He would make...
Smeller. Okay.
Excuse me. Smeller. He would make a big deal when ordering wine of smelling the cork, which is not really a thing I've learned from friends that are sommeliers. They're like, that's stupid.
I am also a really great smeller. Please, everyone, endorse me for smelling on LinkedIn.
And so he would always send the first bottle back just to show off how particular he was about these things. But they all knew he was full of shit. He didn't really know what he was doing.
Right. I would like to think that Lily would often say to him that he dealt it. You smelt it. You dealt it.
Just to give some context at this time. This is World War II. There's a lot of rationing going on with food, with gas, with everything. Mm-hmm. So Rex and Lily, they're on a vacation and they're going to an Italian restaurant. And it's like a hotel with a restaurant. And they're there with a friend of hers, another actress. And he decided his salmon didn't smell right. Once again, the man smelt very well.
Mm-hmm.
He called over the maitre d' and yelled, "This fish is rotten." And the maitre d' goes, "No, signore, it's a fresca." And he says, "No, it's bad. And I want you to bring the chef out here right now." And he says, "The chef, he busy, too busy." And he says, "Then I want your manager." Because he's a Karen on top of everything.
Oh, my God. I would like to speak to the manager.
The guy says, "The manager's not here, okay? It's just us. It's super busy. And your fish is fine.
Your fish smells like fish."
It's got a fishy smell.
Yeah.
Dumbass. The maitre d' is being, he hurls abuse at this guy, takes the food and flings it across the table. He then jumps out of his chair and almost falls down. Now all the other waiters show up and they're a bunch of Italians that are pissed at him. Rex says, "How dare you, you fucking Italian." They all kick the shit out of him and throw him out of the hotel.
Good job.
Yeah.
Here's your tip.
After the war, he is getting bored of home life with Lily and their son, Carrie.
Probably smell bad, right? That's why. Kids stink, man. You got to go.
They do stink, don't they?
They do.
Yeah. Even the sweet ones, yeah. Rex starts having affairs, including one with actress Carol Landis. Carol was a very troubled person. She was married several times before her 25th birthday. And she was one of those tragic blondes that get caught up in the Hollywood machine. She was a gorgeous lady, but she had a terrible drinking problem. And she was madly in love with Rex Harrison.
Hmm.
She had an okay career before and during the war. And she has a lot of credits on her IMDb page. But she's hitting 29 and her prospects are running out. She's pretty, but she wasn't especially talented. And then she did the thing some blondes do is they go brunette. Because they're like, Well, everyone thinks brunettes are smart and they get more work. And then they realize, no, you get a lot more work as a blonde than you will as a brunette. I'm saying this as a brunette. Rex tried to cast her in some things with him. And Hollywood soon starts gabbing and gossiping. They know they're together. But it's not until Walter Winchell outs them as a couple that the heat is on Rex Harrison. So they're like, "Hey, you're a married man. You should be with your wife. You know, what's going on here?" And Rex decides. And Carol is like, "Well, leave her and marry me." And Rex is like, "No, I'm not doing that."
"No, you smell too."
He decides. Carol, he says, "Look, you stay in L.A. I'm going to go to Europe for a while. Let's just cool things off for a little bit. I think we need to cool down." July 4th, 1948, she invites him over for lunch. And according to Rex, he breaks it to her very gently. And they have this very, you know, they realize they're going to be split for a while, but she was okay. He calls her the next morning, can't get her on the phone. Hour later, 2 hours later, he keeps calling her. And her maid slash cook slash, you know, assistant says, "Oh, no. When she's like that, I'd let her sleep because she takes a lot of pills to sleep." And Rex is like, "Oh, boy." He comes over to the house at 2:30 in the afternoon. And when he goes around the house and he finds that Carol is dead of an overdose.
Oh.
Carol left 2 suicide notes, one for her mother, which I can't even, and one for Rex. Rex apparently either tore it up or took it with him. He later told his lawyers that when he found her, she had a faint pulse. But he didn't want to call an ambulance because that would attract attention. So instead, he took hours to do this. He went through her personal phone book to find a doctor for her. By the time anybody was able to send help, she was gone. She might have been saved if he had called for emergency, but we'll never know. And her family always thought it was murder.
I'm like, that's I it's negligent. I mean, she tried to, yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. Like, yeah. I can't comprehend that he wasn't charged with anything, but Hollywood was really good at brushing things away. Yeah. Like that.
So this is what happens to Rex. He loses his contract with Fox Studios, but they also make sure he doesn't have any charges because the LAPD is pretty corrupt. And he's basically, they say to him, look, just go back on the stage for a while until this all, the scandal blows over. So he's middle-aged and he's back on the stage and he's still with Lily. And Broadway welcomes him back and London welcomes him back. And he's between, he's in several plays and musicals. And he has this reputation for being an egotistical asshole. And he had that before, and it certainly isn't dissipating in his middle-aged years. It's actually worse than it ever been. He's now nicknamed Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Does he have little arms?
Yes. Little baby arms.
I can smell really well. I see children in a Jeep. I'm going to go chase it.
He has a temper and he's really fussy. Oh, and he's also pretty heartless. One time his valet was sent to get out to get one of his hats. He was really into hats because he was losing his hair from a young age. The poor guy, his valet, was stabbed in the street. Rex said, oh, I suppose I'm going to have to get my own hats from now on.
Oh, my God. What an asshole.
When it comes to hats.
I would take a shat in his hat.
I'll have my cat take a shat in his hat. That stuff stinks.
He'll know. He'll smell it.
When it came to hats, he expected people to take theirs off in his presence and would get grouchy if they didn't, including police officers and customs officials. He was not above complaining to their bosses over this.
Karen Rex.
Take off your hat.
One time, the couple, Lily and Rex, they were having dinner in Nottingham, and Rex was being even more boorish than usual with the wait staff. This time, the waiter just had it and basically knocked him out with one punch.
Good.
Lily called it the happiest day of her life.
That's awesome.
In 1956, Rex would find the role of a lifetime, Professor Henry Higgins. Awesome. That's my Cockney.
Good job.
Mary Fair Lady, which was based on George Bernard Shaw's play Pygmalion. Rex actually knew George Bernard Shaw and was very eager for the part. Two things worried him. One, he wasn't a great singer, but he did that whole sing-speak thing that the audiences didn't care. Two, that Julie Andrews was just 20 years old and might be too green for the part. But after their big debut in Connecticut, you know, you always try these things on the road. They had a hit, and Rex would eventually go on to win a Tony Award for his part. And he was soon also recognized by his co-stars as one of the biggest joke thieves on stage. One example, there's a scene with Julie Andrews or with Eliza Doolittle where she sings Just You Wait, Henry Higgins. The whole point is she finally has a voice. She's finally fighting back. She's finally like, fuck you, you condescending prick. And she's letting it all out. And every single night, as soon as Julie Andrews would just drop that last note and the audience is ready to applaud, he would jump from the side of the stage and said, I knew she had it. So then he would get the laughs.
What a dick.
I think it's such a dick move.
It's a total dick move. He's a dick.
Yep. That's, you know, hence the show.
Yeah.
During this time, he was super happy because not only he had a hit on Broadway, but he had a new love. All of his women, by the way, are beautiful. I've posted pictures on Instagram. Yeah. This woman's name is Kay Kendall. And here's the good thing. Lily had her own lover and wanted out of the marriage. She's like, this is bullshit. We've been at this since 1943. I'm out. I want to get out of this. She had a lover. She wanted a divorce. But Rex refused because he didn't want to get married again and he didn't want the scandal. She begged him. because she wanted more children and live with this man. But Rex refused.
Such an asshole.
She said, let me go. And he didn't do it.
No, he has to do it on his terms, not if she wants it.
Well,
he's trash.
One day he and Kay went to the doctor for their annual physicals. And that's when Rex found out that Kay had leukemia. She'd been feeling tired lately, hadn't had as much energy. She was much younger than him. The doctor said she had probably 4 years to live. Rex told the doctor, don't tell Kay the diagnosis. And this was another time. People sometimes did that back then. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
You know, family members just
have
somebody. Yeah. Because that was like a death sentence. I mean, literal. Like they had nothing they could do.
Yes.
And it's very painful and horrible. Really? So Rex asks Lily, what am I going to do? What can I do? And she says, look, if you give me a divorce, I promise to remarry you as soon as she dies. And Rex says, that's a great idea. So in June of 57, Rex marries Kay. Kay, by the way, let me say this again, she has no idea she's dying.
Mm-hmm.
Lily marries Carlos Thompson September of 1957, and they stay married until her death in 1986.
That's right. She's like,
on the deal.
Yeah, she's smart. Lily understood the assignment.
Yes.
She is smart.
Rex and Kay are together until her death in 1959. It's tragic. He genuinely loved her, and everyone that knew her said that she was as sweet as she was beautiful.
Oh, that's sad.
It is. It is. And Rex is not happy about being a bachelor again. He's like 50 at this point. So he's looking for his next ex, Mrs. Rex. And he finds it in a beautiful, feisty blonde named Rachel Roberts. Rachel was in Foul Play, one of Sonia's favorite movies.
Oh, Gerda. I love that movie. That's right. Okay.
And she's in the 70s, The Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes.
I like that movie.
Mm-hmm.
She was an actress from Wales who could drink Rex under the table, and she had a ton of spirit. She was super focused on her career until she married Rex, and then he wanted her home while he filmed around the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're living the Hollywood life, which is glamorous, and she's not a glamorous person. She would be, like we would say, like an indie actress. She does not want to be a star. She just wants to act.
And right. She just wants to work.
Just wants to work. And she's all of a sudden really self-conscious because he's best friends with people like Liz Taylor. Can you imagine being a woman and walking into a party and there's Liz Taylor? Like, how would you not feel? I would just feel dumpy and, you know. just not even a
turn
woman.
Around and leave.
Just go, leave. Yeah. Like that Homer Simpson or Grandpa Simpson gif. Just walk in and out of the bar.
Yep, just put my hat right back on and
game
walk
over.
Out.
Okay. Marlon Brando, you know, those people.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Rachel's way of dealing with any kind of sadness, confrontation, insecurity, self-consciousness, she drinks.
Mm.
She drinks and then she gets into fights with Rex. Their fights were so bad that they were kicked out of a party being held by Liz Taylor and Richard Burton.
Damn, when Liz Taylor and Richard Burton are like, that's a little much.
They got kicked out for being noisy by Richard Burton and Liz Taylor.
Oh, man.
You're a monster if that's what's going on. Get some goddamn help.
That's crazy.
They get married in 1962, and it lasts until 1971 when he meets someone else.
Course.
This woman is Elizabeth Reese Harris. Her son is Jared Harris. He's an actor with dozens of credits. Okay. The Crown, Mad Men, Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And her ex was actor Richard Harris, also known to drink. And Rex loved getting one over on him. He loved kind of stealing a woman from a guy. She also came with three sons. They were married from 1971 until 1975. Elizabeth, she pretty quickly realized her new husband was an abusive asshole, drunk, who had no interest in being a stepfather. She found his stifling, grandiose moods
overwhelming.
Also, his ex, Rachel, was completely obsessed with winning him back, and he led her on to think this was possible. He took advantage of her fragile nature. He would talk to her for hours on the phone at a time, which made her think he still loved her.
Mm-hmm.
He probably loved her, but he wasn't in love with her. He wasn't interested in being married to her again. She had serious health issues and mental health issues. And I'm not blaming him for them.
You know,
that was her own thing, and drinking and drugs do not help it at all.
No.
But he was completely flattered by her obsession and kind of kept it going, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't do anything to curb it. No. He kind of encouraged it.
Yeah. So Elizabeth and Rex divorced in 1975. He's on the market for a few years, but he marries his last spouse, Mercia Tinker, in 1978. They seemed happy for the most part, as happy as he can ever be. In 1980, Rachel died by suicide with an overdose of pills.
Aww.
She had kept a journal for decades, and it was published posthumously. And in there, she wrote about her fatal obsession with him. And she took this overdose of pills, and she was trying to walk from one room to another, and she like fell through a glass door. So it was like on top, but like she died. It was suicide, but it was like really gruesome.
That's awful.
Yeah. In 1989, Rex Harrison was knighted by the Queen of England, who had no idea who he was.
Let me guess. He said she smells bad.
He later complained that they were improperly briefed.
Mm-hmm.
In 1990, he died in his sleep at the age of 82. One of his last conversations was with his sons, Noel and Carrie. He told them that he couldn't stand them, and then he fell asleep.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's so awful. He's like on his deathbed, and he's like, I hate you.
He called them the C word. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
To be fair, they cracked up because they're like, oh, he's an asshole to the end. Like, they kind of expected it.
Right.
They thought it was funny, but
seriously, though, what a fucking dick.
Yeah. In pop culture, Seth MacFarlane said his character of Stewie Griffin from The Family Guy is based on Rex Harrison.
I guess the voice, that makes sense.
Yeah. And that's our creep this week. Rex Harrison.
Oh, my gosh. That's such a good job, Margo.
Thank you.
He is a creep.
Yep.
Well, now he's complaining in hell about how stinky it is. Oh, that's a good one. Do you want to hear about someone who's not a creep?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I think we all know who Audrey Hepburn is.
No.
I don't think I need to get into too much about who she is, but she has won 3 BAFTA awards. She has won the BAFTA Lifetime Achievement Award. She won a Golden Globe Cecil B. DeMille Award, Screen Actors Guild Lifetime Achievement Award. She's won a special Tony, and she's one of 16 people who's an EGOT, right? So Oscar, Emmy, Grammy, Tony. She was born May 4th, 1929 in Brussels, Belgium. I've been there.
Me too.
Her parents were Nazi sympathizers. She was not. Her parents split when she was very young, and her mother actually took her to Holland during World War II because she thought there'd be less fighting and that country had pledged to stay neutral. Mm. Once again, Nazi sympathizer, but also didn't want to like be involved, you know? The Nazis invaded anyway, and Hepburn, like millions of others, were nearly starved, you know, because the Nazis cut off food supplies. Mm-hmm. And that she was so slim, like she was always slim. Everyone like coveted like her look. And it's actually the result of being malnourished as a teenager. It's pretty sad. Like I said, her mother, Nazi sympathizer, Audrey was not. And as a teenager, she did what she could do to support the resistance. So she would sometimes work as a courier for the resistance and deliver papers. And they had a lot of kids that did this work, apparently, because they didn't search them. Mm. She also was studying ballet, and she used to do performances to raise money for the resistance, aww, which I think is super awesome. During her early 20s, she was studying acting, and she was working as a model and dancer when she was discovered by the French novelist Colette, who felt that she would be ideal for the title role in Gigi. And she did that show on Broadway. She got rave reviews, and that just led to Roman Holiday, which I love.
Yeah.
I love Roman. She's so beautiful in that movie, and like her performance is great, and it's got Gregory Peck and hearts, hearts, hearts. Like, I just love Roman Heart Holiday. Emojis. Yes. And you know, and then she did, of course, like My Fair Lady, which co-starred Rex Harrison. Yeah. I don't really like My Fair Lady, by the way. Do you like it?
I love it. But I grew up with it. I heard it like a thousand times when I was a kid.
I wonder if my feelings towards it would be different if I had grown up watching it. I've watched it only as an adult, like in the last like couple years. And I was like, he's too old for her. I don't like him. And
he's a dick.
Because it turns out he's a huge dick. Yeah. Maybe my radar knew what was up, but I'm not into that. But then she also did Wait Until Dark, and she did Breakfast at Tiffany's, which is a movie that everyone loves except for me and Margot.
But only I for did that one read part.
Yeah,
just because of Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, all that stuff is so offensive. I did read that Hepburn has said that in Breakfast at Tiffany's, that scene where she's like throwing the cat out of the cab, where she's like, get out of here, cat, and it's all rainy in New York, she said it is the most distasteful thing she's ever done on film. I agree. I'm like, that scene is very upsetting.
It is.
So obviously huge movie star, but she's also a lifelong humanitarian. She devoted much of her time to UNICEF. She's been contributing since maybe she still is. I don't know, but
in the universe.
Yeah, she started contributing in 1959. She always felt like after everything she'd been through, she wanted to give back. So she was always donating. And then from like 1988 to 92, she worked in some of the poorest communities in Africa, South America, and Asia. She went to Ethiopia in 1988. Let's keep going here. She was in Central America in 1989. She met with leaders from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala. I'm like, wow, not awesome places to be. You know, there was a civil war going on in some of these countries, and she would help like get food over the border to places that need it. And she said that one of the things she was seeing all the time, this is a quote, these are not natural disasters, but man-made tragedies for which there are only man-made solutions, peace. And that didn't happen. But she went to Bangladesh, and this photographer for the UN, his name is John Isaac, said that he had gone on these trips with lots of like celebrities and people who are like wealthy, who are like, I'm an ambassador or whatever. And he said that like, she would just run up and like just hug these children. Aww. And some of the children were like, you know, they're dirty, they're sick, they have flies on them, like all this. And she would, and they probably smell. So Rex Harrison wouldn't do it. No. He wouldn't. But she would just hug them and like without hesitation. And that he said she was like the Pied Piper, like children just flocked to her.
Aww.
And she wanted to help them so bad. And that there's another time where she went to Vietnam, and she was just doing a big effort there to help people get vaccines and start clean water programs. She was just amazing. Like, she could have been, you know, working, doing movies, TV, whatever, or like just kicking back with her feet up. And she traveled all over the world to places that nobody wanted to go to raise awareness. December 1992, she got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. For all of her work, And then she died a month later.
Oh.
She had cancer. She was died in her home at Switzerland. She was only 63.
She was a heavy smoker.
Yeah.
Heavy, heavy smoker. Yeah.
63 is so young.
Oh, it's bullshit.
Her son, Sean Fiera, founded the Audrey Hepburn Children's Fund in memory of his mother. And the UNICEF have also have like a fund, an Audrey Hepburn Society fund. And her son said that he grew up like in the countryside. He lived like a normal life, that like their house was not Hollywoodized. They didn't have like a screening room or anything like that. And she had once said about her work, I take what I do seriously, but I don't take myself seriously.
Unlike Which, Rex.
Exactly. The opposite of Rex. So that is our not a creep is Aubrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn.
Sorry. Yes.
That's awesome. Great job, Sonia.
Thank you.
I miss her.
Me too. She was such a good person. I feel like I want to go watch Roman Holiday now.
She was in a movie called Always. It was like her last film with Steven Spielberg.
Yes. I know that movie.
Yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss, Holly Hunter, John Goodman. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good cast.
That's a great cast.
We should put it on the list.
We should. Well, speaking of which, if you like the sound of our voices, and why the hell wouldn't you at this point? You've
yes, talked it out seriously.
We co-host a show called Dorking Out, where we dork out about movies. And Sonia, what are we going to be talking about next?
We're going to be talking about Clint Eastwood's In the Line of Fire with John Malkovich as a evil assassin. And it's got Rene Russo, who looks so beautiful. I think this might have been a request as well. And I think there's going to be a lot to talk about.
I watched it last night.
Yeah.
Perfect Thanksgiving Day. It was like a chaser between sure. Real Housewives and the Beatles. I put this on. And I have it on my Instagram. It's a shot. It's a reel of John Malkovich in a wig running and Clint Eastwood chasing him. It's fucking fantastic. I can't.
This movie. Yeah. We're going to have such a fun conversation.
It's
I know it.
It's going to be great. So that's on Dorking Out. If you have yes. any comments or suggestions, please reach out to us on social media. We love it when you use the Annie Potts gift. We got one. That's for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Or once again, send us an email at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. Where can people find you, Margo?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fit Chick for Twitter and Instagram. And my site is brooklynfitchick.com. And I'm at Margo Donahue on TikTok. I'm liking stuff there. I haven't put anything up yet. I'm dipping my toe in that pond.
I keep meaning to put like some What a Creep content up, like trying to give. And I get very easily distracted by the algorithm and end up just making dog stuff.
Yeah, no, so, I'm with you. I get it.
But I am going to do it. I am going to start doing some previews there. I think it would be fun.
Excellent. All right, everybody. So we'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to our show. Be good. It's the season of kindness. Try to be as kind as you can. Don't be a creep.
Creep.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.